Hi everyone, you're listening to the Via Luce podcast, uncensored and completely unedited discussions about life and everything in it. We hope you enjoy the show.
Are we on?
Hello everyone. Are
we on? Fantastic. Hello. We are back. I was just admiring your bottle there, Charles.
I'm getting bullied.
Do the, already.
This sounds so stupid. Do babies still have like the rubber teat thing that goes on the top?
They do actually.
Biscuit rusks. You remember that?
Biscuit rusks, what's that?
They used to get these big biscuits that they'd give to young kids, rusks in the tin. Do you not remember that?
No.
Do you not remember that?
No.
Yeah, a lot of bodybuilders had them because they were just full of, you know, protein. There were big biscuits that used to give the kids. They're probably banned. They probably found out there was like a... Oh, I'm sorry, I said the brand. But they probably found out like 20 years later, oh, right, yeah, that had dot, dot, dot in it.
Yeah. We don't want to...
Go on.
Talcum powder.
Oh, yeah.
Have you
That's
heard
gone out
about
of favor,
talcum powder?
Oh, no. What's happened?
Talcum powder, apparently.
Apparently, yeah.
Well, there's a class action lawsuit currently going for about...
I've heard this,
billions, I think.
Yeah.
Talcum powder, it seems, is some sort of powder or something that they mine. But what they found, is basically it creates and mixes with asbestos during the sort of the mining process where they're sort of getting the initial materials to produce it. And it's so talcum powder is sort of filled with asbestos, apparently.
Yeah.
That's what their claim is. And also the claim is that they knew about this for about 30, 40
years.
They were marketing it to children.
Yeah.
Of course they were.
And people got cancer and all types of stuff. And
you know what? I haven't seen anyone, because a lot of my friends and my sister, they've just had babies. I haven't seen any of them use talcum powder. I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long time. Okay. So have they taken it off the shelves?
Well, I don't know anybody that uses it, unless it was for, and it's for babies as well.
My mum used it on me a lot when I was
younger. That's the thing.
I'm actually really worried.
It's anti-rash? Is that the thing?
Yeah.
Because it's plastic. It's basically plastic, isn't it?
It's like a micro.
Stop. It's for like nappy rashes and stuff. Yeah.
But the thing is, with the release of like what the internet has done, and 20 years later, where everything's sort of coming out in the open, whether it's sexual assaults or UFOs or where everything's slowly, because they can't hold it in now with the internet.
No, yeah.
So I wonder.
Oh, sorry, can we just start? I love that your brain's like sexual assault. UFOs.
I sandwiched it in, so you didn't have a time to talk about it.
Left hemisphere, right hemisphere. Yeah.
So, because they didn't know this was going to happen. So I think a lot of things that were held in, the internet has now brought out secrets. And I wonder how many products are now going to start to go, oh, that was that. And they knew from the start. But when you had big companies, they could sort of go, well, nobody's going to know. They don't know nothing. Mm. But now...
Must be more scientists working on everything, like checking all the products. Because, you know...
Well, I was going to go on about fitness products.
With diesel, like diesel petrol. That was a huge thing. And then they found out the government was actually in league with the companies to rig the tests and were faking the tests for them so that they could carry on. And they knew it was
politics. How did they get away with that? How did they think?
because you could.
Yeah, that's true.
I suppose it's the thing of power, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like the question, why did Nixon... record all his crimes, you know.
Because
it's because you never think you're gonna get caught. You're like, I'm president, you know. I'm this person.
That's the thing.
I'm doing it my whole life.
You could get away with anything because there was never going to be an internet. It's just going to be powerful people. No Twitter. So who are you?
Yeah.
So you can sort of do what you want and go, it's fine.
You know that I've heard that Elon Musk has turned off the blocking from Twitter or from what's it called now? X. It's called X. He's turned off. You don't have to block anyone. You can't block anyone anymore. Apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's turned it off. Apparently, that's the news I heard.
So he's just trying to remove.
Yeah. I have to say, this whole thing with Twitter and Elon Musk, I think it's wonderful. I'm enjoying it. I think it's the gift that keeps on giving. It puts to bed any idea, any notion that he is a serious man of any extent. He is a goofball. He's a wacky, sort of larger-than-life, eccentric internet character who really shouldn't be in charge of anything.
Yeah, can I mess things up today? How can I...
The thing of power ruining people, because it's so weird. It's like... you start off doing one thing, whether it's you're a businessman, you're a politician, whatever, and you get to that level where there's no more money anymore for me. It doesn't matter. I've got too much money. Mm. And you start to seep into power. You think, because you're an engineer, you're a scientist, but then you get to that point where there's money doesn't matter anymore, but your brain sort of like, what next? Well, power. Let me move into Twitter. Yeah. Let me get involved with free speech. What are you doing? You're an engineer. You should have nothing. But it's the power. Yeah. I need to control now, because money has no object.
He should be on a beach drinking cocktails. Yeah.
I know. Like, just enjoy your money. But he likes to be the puppet master, though. I think that's what it is, having all that power.
But it's that thing of like, no, you were good there. You're not a good, you just buy companies up and make investments from them and sell them. When he starts messing around with like communication, PR, that's when you go, oh, right, he's not a genius. He just did one thing well. And now he's moving into these other spaces. And you go, what are you doing?
Doesn't he have like a team behind him being like, Elon, I don't know whether this is a good idea.
The sickness of prop that went, the power is as more power goes up, the less people that tell you stuff goes down until you're like Putin and you genuinely don't know what's happening because everyone's lying to you. As far as you're concerned, you could take America out tomorrow, because for 20 years, slowly everybody started moving away from you that could say anything against you. So now you're delusional.
You just got all your hype men behind you, like, you're doing a great
job. So Elon walks into the room and goes, I'm doing this thing, and X. How many people do you think, mate, that's a terrible idea? How many people went, wow, oh my god,
revolutionary?
You all sort of auto-correct. Everybody sort of looks around and goes, yeah. It's like when I said about the guy that went to Google and he left and wrote the article about working at Google, and he said, it's so good there that you're petrified of leaving, because you've got everything at your fingertips, doors open for you've got you, they give you money if you create an app, and they give you a team behind you in an office for 2 years, no stress. And he said, you're scared of leaving.
Wow, many jobs.
also
yeah, but he said, you're scared of leaving and having to go back to the real world, where there's you sat there in your room with a computer and you want to do anything.
Well, also they pay exceptionally well, and guess what, you're moving from there, it's a step down in pay, so you're thinking, I'd like to stay on the same
but all
kind
the
of pay
open
bracket.
You can go to them with anything, and they'll give you a team of people. So for 2 years, go and work on it, no stress. If it works, it works. We take money. If it doesn't, don't worry. While you're working there on the day, everyone's just doing whatever they want. Pool rooms, they let you cook, coffees, teas are free, food's free.
Yeah.
But he said that when there's a hierarchy of teams, and you have to start showing that, as he said, one of the most humiliating things is when any of the bosses would come down, everybody stands up and claps. And he said, you have to. And he said, there's cliques, because everyone wants to keep their job, but those people are more sucky to those people. Standing up and clapping, that's when you go, oh, I can't. But if you don't,
I've been
paid. You'd be fired if you don't. If you just
said,
sat there.
He said, there's always movements within, they need certain people that don't, and you're just desperate to stay there.
Yeah.
So you sort of go along, because it's noted. If you just sat there in a room and everyone's going, woo.
Yeah. Well, if you go, woo, woo, woo.
Yeah. And some people will
not doing it with enough vigor.
Well,
you get a promotion.
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of like North Korea. You know, you can't be the one to stop clapping first. Because everyone thought.
Yeah. No, it really is. I've worked jobs and people have been. It was noted sometimes when people weren't being enthusiastic with enough enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Enthusiasm.
I don't believe that clap. Clap better.
Otherwise,
you're out of here.
Yeah, you were smiling, but not with your eyes.
No, you're not smizing.
It's like the Mona Lisa. The eyes are doing one thing and the mouth's doing something else, and I can't quite tell what you're up to.
Clenching. That's right. She looks like she's about to fart.
Have you seen the Mona Lisa?
No, I have not.
I mean, not in the
flesh. I never met her.
I didn't realise. Everyone says it's really small. It's like that big.
Oh, I thought it was massive.
You assumed. But you said, walk up, it's like this big.
And you're like, oh, how underwhelming is this?
Yeah. I always thought, though, why did he paint it small? That's just more difficult, surely.
Didn't it take him like years and years and years and years and years?
I don't know. The whole thing is that he painted the Uncanny Valley. He did the mouth one way and the eyes slightly different. So your brain doesn't know. And then it goes, oh, there's something going on. But to be able to paint like that, like a magic eye sort of effect.
Yeah.
But why do it so small? I mean, what do I know?
Because it's huge. It'll take years. Have you ever seen like Guernica?
No.
Guernica.
What's that?
You know, the Picasso piece?
No.
Oh, God. My art teacher is going to just hate me for this, that I don't know.
Okay.
Well, she's coughing up her coffee.
Yeah, she's going to be like, taught you this.
It was during the Spanish Civil War. They invited the Nazis in to do some bombings, and they targeted a village and a small town, and they sort of annihilated. It was the Luftwaffe, their first kind of big target. Hurrah. And yeah, they're sort of, yeah, yeah, they're training thing, unfortunately. And it was this absolute slaughter. And it's this huge thing. It takes up a wall. Oh. And literally you're in the gallery in Madrid, and you know, you go around the corner and it's just, and it's just absolutely enormous.
What about the Sistine wow. Chapel? Really is that, that shop. Is the size of a ceiling, like a huge big cathedral sort of thing?
Well, it's a chapel. It's not necessarily, it's a fairly, it's a biggish, it's not, but it's not like a church.
Right, okay, you know, right.
So it's certainly not a cathedral. Or,
and did he paint that
like
alone?
It's St. Peter's, you know.
Did he paint that alone?
Supposed to have. I don't know if he had.
I thought I heard somebody was sort of like along the way sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't know if he had a few people just to sort of.
Back then as well, we just used them and they were hung 2 days later just to make sure there's nobody to talk about.
Well, yeah, blinded or whatever. Yeah. But it's like, you know, it's like assistant directors, you know. Right. Like, you know, for a big film, you have a director.
Right.
Come in, Spielberg or whatever, Scorsese, and they come in and say, oh, yeah, we'll set up here and do this.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of smaller stuff that happens, like that they. That's a bit fiddly sometimes, and they just give it to a second unit person.
Yeah.
Mm. Assistant director.
You fill in the colour, I'll do the image.
Yeah,
I'll do the big stuff.
Get a couple of shots of outside, you know, just some stuff of outside the building, some external shots, whatever, some, you know, or some stuff on the streets. Little things, you know, that would be a faff, and they don't need the director there, really.
So. Well, with like Stonehenge or any big thing, like the pyramids, you think how many slaves died in the process of putting that together? And we sort of just come along and go, oh, wonderful. Like, you go, hang on, are we looking at a horrific monument of slavery? Like, how many people died? You know, just to lift up a 2-ton block, you must have had like 200 people pulling on this thing. Yeah.
But then there's also the converse there, because there's also all the conspiracy theory people who are like, well, obviously, people couldn't do that.
Oh, right, yeah.
So this is all aliens or Atlantis or underwater androids.
You forget about, I listened to something that was about Rome, and you forget that they didn't have technology, but they still had entertainment, and they were very smart people.
Yeah.
So like with Rome, or like the there was one with Greeks. Yeah, so they'd do plays, but they didn't have anything, and they'd have masks. And they knew how to design a plain mask, like a plastic, you know, what you think of like the Chinese use, I don't forget the name of them, like
porcelain.
Porcelain, yeah. Mm. But they designed the face in a way that if you looked at it, it's just a mask with a face. But they realized that when they're holding the mask up, they can tell you a story and use lighting to tilt the mask so that you see a smile, or tilt it another way and you see a frown.
Wow.
And because it's and when they do it, they go, yeah, so here's the mask, not doing anything. And then the woman, and she was the son died, and they just tilt it and you see it sad, and then they smile, and the smile goes up and you go, oh, right, yeah, they're smart people. And Rome had a thing with the aqueducts, you know, they used a lot with water.
And what the Romans ever done for us.
Yeah, yeah. But they had a way of making, you'd walk into the room and it looked like the water was running up the wall because of the way they'd move, had things around. I think it was an angle of the wall.
Yeah.
And if they did water running here and putting, so you'd walk in and it looked like water was running up.
That's amazing.
So you just forget, they just didn't have the things we did.
Do they still have that there? Like, do they still?
I can't remember. They recreated it on this thing. You know, when you're sitting still and a bus moves and you feel it's moving, but it's not. It was that. They're really manipulating, like the Greeks, they're manipulating what you're seeing.
They have that big festival, don't they, in Venice, where they all wear masks and stuff.
Oh, right. Yeah, that
rings a bell. I always get a bit suspicious about what happens at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Or window wearing robes.
Yes, one
surrounding
step away.
Someone playing the piano, you know.
Oh, blah.
I need to be more cultured. I haven't been to any of these places.
Well, you're missing out on going to weird elitist sex parties, obviously.
Oh, wait, sign me up. Well,
I remember just watching that Carl Pilkington thing where they go to Venice or Vienna. What's the one?
Is it that Idiot Abroad?
Yeah, where they wear the mask. He goes with Warwick Davis.
Oh, yeah.
What one possibly be?
Won't be Idiot Abroad, then, would it?
Possibly be Venice if they did.
Because when you said the pyramids, I was thinking Idiot Abroad.
Yeah, that's when. Yeah, they wouldn't have said that when Warwick was in it. What was it called then? Around the World or something? It wouldn't have been Idiot Abroad with Warwick in it.
I don't know.
They went to where's the water? Venice, yes, the canal, and they do the thing of wearing the mask, and that you could just you because they were so uptight that they would have parties where you put the mask on and then you're just somebody else because they were so uptight, sort of like in the Victorian era. So you put the mask on, like mask parties where we can relax,
fancy dress parties,
yeah. And yeah, so you've got the sad person and the doctor and the medical man, and you just put it and you just play like that.
Well, it's because, you know, you hide yourself. Like, you don't have to show anyone.
Yeah, and the fact they were so repressed and the corsets and all the fact that they had to have parties where you actually just pretended to be yourself. So well, how could that be in the modern era?
Yeah, that's like on the internet. No one can see you, you're masked.
Yeah.
So like you can be whoever you want to be.
I was trying to think of the fact that we're all on show.
Yeah.
So what would the party be? Where you're, yeah, nobody.
They still have masked parties.
I said this, right? Because every privacy is gone.
Yeah.
But I still think in the future, privacy will be like a valuable thing to go, oh, who's he? You don't know everything about somebody.
Yeah.
Because it will get to a point where, because the world will correct itself, everyone will go one way, then you have to go that way, like having email or whatever. And I think that we'll just be meeting people and it will naturally just bring up, I'm going to meet you, and my Bluetooth will just connect to who you are and your thing and your blood type and your family, and it will just, oh, right, yeah, blah, blah. But then you meet somebody and you don't know anything. And I think it will revert back to a sort of animalistic thing of, oh, a bit dangerous. Like, I don't know anything about this. It could be a murder.
Well, I mean, they do that now. Like, I'll go like to a party or something and someone, like one of my friends, will be like, oh, I don't have Instagram or I don't have Facebook. And people look at them like, why not? Like, why don't you have your life on the internet?
People are suspect. I don't do any social media. Yeah. And people are always, I always get this kind of...
What are you trying to hide?
Yes. It's suspicious.
You're the freak.
Suspicious. And I'm like, I just don't have time.
Yeah.
I can't be bothered. I got such little time, and I was just busy like last few years.
I was just in like the gyms the other day.
Well, it's good. I was just going to say, but like I was thinking about getting back on Twitter just because, I don't know.
We only had about 5 followers. I don't think you're going back to it.
Well, just going on the start, just being a prick on it again.
Yeah.
Like, just a general
Trump, prick. Yes or no. And then just leave it there for 5 months and come back to murder, death threats. Yeah. You've been sacked. You've been hired by a right-wing conspiracy group. You've been sacked again.
Someone said that. They said they used to go into forums and say, well, so what's this gender pay gap thing that I've been hearing about? Yeah. People go,
just turn the phone off and come back to it in 2 months.
Just chuck a hand, roll a hand grenade.
To that woman, oh my God, I've read this book. It happened to this woman. She put a tweet out or something out.
She went on the plane.
And then she went on the plane. Yeah, yeah. And then when she came back.
Oh. But African children. But she was joking. She said, like, I'm going to Africa. What was it? I've got my injections or HIV injections, something like that. But she was actually the opposite of that. She was making a joke on what people think.
Yeah.
She's being sarcastic.
But
electronic
so...
conduits do not give nuance.
Or context.
Like, you've got to be so careful. Yeah. And the fact that she went for a whole flight and then came back to just
and
chaos.
Sacked while you're in there.
Her whole life just blew up while she was while she's in the air. That's terrifying.
Yeah, it's we've got to pull it back in. Like, I think people get, it's just gone.
But I feel sorry for the like kids, like 14-year-olds and stuff, like really young kids putting their lives out onto the internet. You can't take that crap back.
Well,
I think
in the future there's going to be mass lawsuits where you've been photographing your child without their permission since birth. You sold their information since birth. Kids, you sold that. They didn't have a choice.
They didn't have a choice.
So and I think that will be a big thing in the future where, like, hang on, you've got photographs of me half naked and all through my life, the whole way up. It's what I said about that, what's the DNA thing? 83andMe. 23andMe, where you send off your DNA for 20 quid or whatever. Mm. One of the co-founders of Google has got that. Is the founder of it, but you're for fun. You've sold your DNA, the information for your new DNA. Like it says on there, you're basically giving it, and then that just gets sold.
Yeah,
and then you just skip forward 20 years, and now you're applying for insurance.
Yeah,
why is my insurance different from my twin? Oh, because your parent had a heart condition, so you've probably you've got half that condition. Your dad had a stroke. So the likely, you want a mortgage? Mm. Well, your DNA says that you're likely to 50.
Predisposition to heart disease.
But you sold that for the. I said to everyone when it came out.
Yeah.
Why is that only 20 quid?
Yeah.
They can't be making money from that information.
Information.
It's data mining, isn't it?
Yeah. And also, you sold half your kid's DNA, and a quarter of your grandkid's DNA. So further down the line, if your kids go to get it, well, your mum had a half set chance and the father had a half. So in 20 years you get insurance and now they're going, we know everything about you specifically. So maybe you have strokes. Well, you can't get car insurance because you're likely to get a stroke because
you need to.
The people gave it for fun.
It's the terms and conditions, guys. I don't read terms and conditions. Yeah.
But then that's the whole thing. The con of terms and conditions is to make sure that you don't know the terms and conditions.
Yeah.
There's a booklet on terms and conditions.
Is that that Black Mirror episode? Or did we talk about that last time?
No, don't mean
which
so.
One?
The Streamberry.
No.
Where it's a new Black Mirror episode. She does a terms and conditions on Streamberry. It's sort of like Netflix.
Yeah, okay.
And then she... there's like an AI, there's someone that has her face, like someone's recording her life, and it's like Joan is awful. It's a really good episode. It's got Annie Murphy in it and I love her. But you look at it and she basically, she's had a whole day. It's been a bad day at the office. Like she's fired someone and everything. She's come home and on Netflix, Streamberry, it has her whole day, but it's got Salma Hayek's face on it and they've filmed her whole day. But they've all got actors, so it's basically her life. And they've like she's, I don't want to give the episode away, but it's really, really good. But she didn't realise the terms and conditions. She could literally sign her story away, they could start filming her life.
That's like a Cinder Don, Don, oh, forgot.
Is that to do with selling, what?
Says Cinder Non City.
Right, okay. Synchronicity.
It's a bit different than that. Yeah. But the same thing about a guy tries to make a thing. It's with a guy.
Who?
Guy died. Big guy.
Big?
Big guy.
What was he?
Harry Nodos.
Oh, you mean big famous?
No, well, yeah, he was quite a good actor. He was in that. Oh, God, I completely. Anyway, he was necessary means for a necessary means for him. He was the assistant in Big Lebowski.
Oh, I've got John Candy in my head. Not that the one with Roseanne.
Assistant. No, the assistant.
Oh, I haven't seen the film, so I don't know.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
But we just said the other day with Bruce Willis, because he's like the dementia's setting now, and now there's no coming back from it. So he's just, for the sake of money for his family, he sold the rights to himself.
Yeah,
so now they can just. So now, it's not about him, that's a thing now. There you go. I've sold the rights to my voice, you can bung me on anything.
Yeah.
So... where celebrity goes with fact, we then become celebrities. Like everyone's now walking around like they're the celebrity in their own little world. And then, so now he's sold his rights. So now you could maybe sell your own rights to.
That's what they did on the episode. Salma Hayek had the, she actually sold her rights to Streamberry so they could use her face. And then she realized that the person whose life it's about, she started like, blowing shit up Salma Hayek was like to her lawyers like, what's going on, my face is on this, like I did this thing in a church, you need to watch it. It's awful. And she's just like, I would never do that. And she was just like, there's nothing we can do, you literally signed a contract to give away your rights.
I was just mentioned before about being in the gym and I've watched the mobile phones come in and the people without the phones less and less and less, and younger people come in, more phones. And it does feel like I'm in a dream zone when I'm there now, because it happens so quickly that I used to think, oh, look at him. And now I can't keep up. And it's got worse and it's got worse. So now people are doing exercises and watching the phone as they're during the exercise. And I'm going, what is this? Like, what is going on? And what day are we now? What day is yesterday? Friday.
Saturday.
What day's today?
Today's Sunday.
Oh, no, yeah, I was going to say it didn't make sense. So Friday was 2 days ago. I wasn't in gym last night. And it was about 11 o'clock at night. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 6 or 7 guys walked in, right? They have that thing. I don't know when it caught, you know, like that mental patient look where they've got like white socks, but like slippers and shorts on. Yeah. I don't know when that's people started wearing that, because they look like mental patients shuffling through like a mental ward. Well, I don't know when
they released from the ward.
Yeah, but they're wearing it in the gym. I used to see it in Tesco, like at night time, somebody would come in, you think, he's got bloody white socks and flip-flops on.
I think socks and sandals should never happen. It makes me feel sick.
It comes from like that South Saint...
I feel sick.
No, it does.
If you're doing this, stop it now.
He's looking and thinking, oh, God.
Stop it.
But I saw one person wearing them in the gym. I think you've got flip-flops on in the gym. And then it's like, no matter...
That can't be safe.
It's not. But it's that thing of like, the difference from what they're wearing at home, because you'd see it in Tesco's or at late at night and you go, look at this lunatic. And then it was during the day you'd see one person, and they're out in the street, and then in the gym, and then there's more of them. And they came in the other day, honest to God, I didn't know I was going to talk about this. It was the closest I've ever seen to like zombies. Because what happened is, it was weird, because I was watching, as they came in, I was in front of the door and they walked all in. There's about five or six of them, and more, maybe more. And I noticed the feet, that they all had white socks and those plastic flip-flops and shorts. I think it comes from like, you know, like, you know, Boys in the Hood, South Central, that sort of rappy, that's where the first look come. And I think it's through music. It now filtered its way down, because it doesn't fit America, England anyway, the weather. But and I think it came through there, through kids. So they think, oh, the messier and like less I care that I look, the cooler I think I am. So, but now it's into the gyms. They just walk around with their shorts around their asses.
The gyms. Like, I know, it
doesn't make any sense.
There's weights everywhere. If they that don't falls care. On your foot.
But the common sense is gone. So now they're just thinking, this is what people wear, and I don't know any difference between where I am. Yeah. And eventually just be wear it to a job interview, 20 years. They just don't know when to stop. But they walked in, all of them were on their phone, looking down. But you know when there's a difference between like looking and they're staring at it, like that. It's like this, and they're all. So this is the thing. So they're all coming towards me, and they're all just randomly about 6 or 5 feet away from each other, and they're all shuffling while looking at the phones, like dead eyes, like not browsing. They were like this. You know, I think things like when the face drops, when you don't, you're not being looked at, so you're like. And they were coming towards me, and I just saw. Zombie. I thought,
it's like Dawn of the Dead.
That's the nearest thing I'm ever going to see, because the way they were spaced out,
yeah.
The speed that they were going, and they look, and the looks on the, you know, I'm just staring at a phone, and I thought, oh, like it's something. Like, this isn't good, man.
But how can you do that going into the gym? For me, that's like a break. You know, like I'll be listening to music.
Gone off a cliff. It's actually gone off a cliff.
But that's why we don't have a lot of our attention span is so short now.
No, it's gone.
Gone because like literally like TikTok. You got it's like video after video after video after video. Yeah. So much content.
Yeah.
And
that's what these things do, is they keep you in the cycle of just watching.
Oh, yeah.
But it started where you'd be able to point one person out in the gym. Now, every now and again, I'll look around and there's 10% of the people aren't on the phones. And a lot of the kids especially, they're doing an exercise and they're doing this. It scares the hell out of me this is what I said. It's actually one of them guys, I spoke to them because I went to where they were and I said, are you using this? And when he looked up at me, and this is the thing, it's like the real world isn't their reality. That's in there is reality, and you're like this. Huh? It's like looking at a TV screen and going. And he went, and he went back to his phone. And I thought,
is that when I've been playing video games too long?
We said that before. Yeah,
like 4 or 5 hours straight. And I'm just like. You're like,
Mike, it makes me feel
it's gonna get worse. Yeah. Virtual reality, it's gonna get worse. It
takes a few minutes just to tune in what you're seeing. You're
it
like,
scared
oh.
me. The way he looked up at me, like he was looking through me.
Yeah.
And he just looked straight back down. He's not waiting for a response. He just went, and looked back, and I thought
maybe
I'm not reality to him. Yeah.
Maybe if you like I am dim or like
it's worse. It's like I'm the odd one out when I go there now. And it went past comedy, it went past being scary. Now it's like, this is a mental ward. Like, nobody knows what's going on here. And even like the people that run the gyms, they're kids themselves, they don't care. Nobody says anything to anyone. But these things only get worse because nobody's correcting it upwards. So it only gets worse. So they're being pushed into what they're around, all the people are irrelevant.
Yeah,
it's just what this is doing. Well, scares the hell out of me.
Mobile phones. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day, but like 20 years ago when I went to Dam, you weren't allowed, you went to a coffee shop, you went to a bar even, like most bars, you weren't allowed to have a phone out.
Yes,
would tell you to put it in your pocket and piss off. You know, I was in a coffee shop, again, 20 years ago, someone took a photograph. You know, there were some people having a fun time, 3 or 4 people in the corner, took a photograph of themselves, and this guy just went bananas on the table next to him, demanded that they take the film out.
Yeah.
Because he was like, I was in the background.
I've had people take photographs of me in the gym, and I know they've taken a photograph, and I'm thinking, I haven't got the law on my side. But I'm going to take that off his out and throw it out the door.
But like 20 years later, I went, because I remember specifically, because he was a boat driver, he was like a taxi. There was a guy, and he was like a taxi boat driver thing. Yeah, the uniform and a hat, and he just lost it. And he's and like, it was just really unchilled. It was like, and he was screaming. And eventually, the owner came out, told him to do one, or they called the police.
Calm down a little bit. Like, where is that? I mean, 20 years ago.
Yeah, it was 20 years.
Is that going to go? But like,
this guy obviously didn't want to be pictured doing recreational drugs in a
place.
In the background,
it might be judged.
Because it might affect his job, and it's a private thing.
Okay, fair enough.
I get that. Yeah. But then 20 years ago, I happened to be in the same place, and everyone was just on their phones. They were doing live chats, they were talking and stuff. And I was like, wow, this. I remember the good old days when the owner came out and threw you out for like just having it on the table. You know what I mean? Not even using it. But just
that thing of being able to just photograph people, I've never got my head around that. Like legally, why can you? Because what about age? What if like they're 16? Mm. Is that okay? What's the law
Anything
saying?
Anything in public.
Yeah.
If you're in public, you don't have a...
Yeah, but that's mental. I
think it's the reasonable right to privacy.
Yeah.
And when you're outside in public, you don't necessarily have a reasonable...
yeah, but that's fine.
You don't want to go out.
There's not an expectation.
But then
of
they
privacy.
Shouldn't be able to put that online.
Yeah.
That's because I can't go and photograph somebody and put it online. Like that would be... Like if I just... And what if you just said, right, I'm going to follow you around. Mm. I'm just going to take photographs of you, and you go to
but
the policeman.
But people do that, though. Yeah. A lot of, like, you know, the social media, a lot of like, younger kids, they do that for the likes, the views and everything. And I've been, like, read lately that a lot of... Oh, there's been a few that have, like... Do you know when they're like climbing up cranes and doing like
dangerous shit. Yeah.
They've fallen. There's that one guy who fell off the building in Hong
Kong.
Skyscraper.
It's a prank, bro. It's a prank.
Yeah.
It's a prank. Yeah.
What was that one? Ta-da! Did I send on to you and Andrew about the guy on the rock? He killed like this. It's called like Death Rock, and he died taking a picture of himself.
Yeah. It's just and the girl. I was looking up this today. I think this TikToker from China. Mm. She was a crane driver. And she was on the cranes like after hours, and she was doing stuff. And she was only 23, and she fell from the crane. And you're just like, you get sucked into that.
Like and subscribe.
But you get sucked in because you get paid money. Yeah. Like she had children, and she was getting paid more money from doing that than you know. So
well, it's funny enough,
you get sucked in, and so you just want more likes, more stuff, more content because of the money.
Well, once you become a like your life is a value, so everything you've done. Well, again, what I said about it's like celebrity. If you'd gone back like 20 years, everything's for sale.
Yeah.
So you get married, you get photograph it. You get divorced, you photograph it. You're crying, you photograph it. Your kids are sick, you photograph that in the hospital. Mm. And now that's filtered down to people where I get money from showing you stuff. So I'm more valuable. My image is more valuable than my real world. So why would I do anything and not photograph it?
Like, yeah. Is it real if I haven't photographed it?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. If nobody saw it, then
if
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
And that's what it's come to. You go, wow.
It's like...
Again, celebrity. That's what you've become a celebrity. The image is more valuable than what is that, who I am.
Yeah.
Like and I've said before, like when you rewire your brain to thinking... My value in terms of who you are to yourself is only through the eyes of other people.
Yeah.
What do you think of me? That's what I am.
And obviously, you've got people, younger, impressionable people, are just like, am I not doing enough with my life? Because obviously, they're looking at all these people doing amazing things and stuff. And they're just like, oh, well, I need to do that because, you know, being ordinary, like, I felt like yesterday because I spent the whole day, I messaged all my friends. I was like, is anyone available? No, my partner was out. And I just spent the whole day with my cat at home. And I was like, what do I do? Like, I'm looking at Instagram. And I was like, look at all these people having great lives. And I was like, I'm in the garden just playing with my cat. And I literally, that's all I did the whole day.
Sounds great. That's really
cool. And I was just like, and I got up to bed and I was like, I did nothing with my day. But then I was like, no, I did. I had some quality time with myself. And I think sometimes you just need that.
But then look what you're doing today. And then what are other people doing today? They're just sat with their feet up. So remember, you're every everyone's exactly like you. It's just who's you're seeing other people's best bits. You're not seeing them sitting there.
I could have taken a video of me playing, you know, like and being like, oh, look how fun I'm having. Look at me.
Hi.
You know, look how cute my cat is. Yeah. I mean, he's super cute. But I was just like, there's no need to because no one wants to see that.
I've always said,
so boring.
Don't ever allow yourself to scroll. There's no need for it. The second you start to scroll, so what am I doing? Do something. Why am I the first time you feel your finger do it, stop. Mm. there's not, I'm doing nothing there. Actually, just damaging yourself. Really.
I'm a victim of it. I do wake up in the morning and
you can block. It's muscle memory.
I go onto Instagram. Like, I think Instagram more than Facebook.
Well, I say this because to do with personal development, I say there's no need for you to have any social media on your phone.
Yeah.
Stick it on the computer. So you've got to go and sit at it. Or if you're out, you can't. And you have to train your brain for a few days to say. But the first thing is you just take it off your phone. Just take it off your phone.
There's I have deactivated it a few times. I'm like, no, I'm just going to have a normal, ordinary life. I'm not going to go on it. And, you know, it's the pressures. I'm going to deactivate it. And then one day you're like, I really want to stalk people. I really want to see what so-and-so is doing. I want to see, you know, the person I went to school with, what they're doing.
Get yourself an analog phone. That'll take care of that. Just go, right, I've got the computer and a thing with numbers on it. Yeah. I was at Ricky Gervais the other day. He said he was trying to text his brother his address. And he said, I couldn't figure out how to change from letters to numbers. So he said it was like WC1. And I had to type him double is in the word UYOUCSEEONE. He said, I couldn't forget. And the other one said, that's because you're an old man. But he just said, that's ridiculous. He said, I couldn't figure out how to change the bloody thing.
Oh, God, yeah. And I don't know. So what do we do without our phone? Sometimes, like, I'm, you know, because it's good for sat nav. You're like, where's this? I mean, it is convenient. Like, I do love
it. It's a useful tool.
It's a useful tool. But yeah, it does take up a lot of my time.
Free if you just don't care. You've got to remove everything off your phone and just train yourself out of it. That's all. Just keep doing it. Don't have it near you. I have a watch because it sounds like nothing makes a difference. But if you do all the little nothings, everything makes. So I get a watch. You know why? So I don't have to hold the phone. If I'm walking, I try not to put the phone in my hand ever. Because I'm constantly training myself every day to not hold the phone. So anytime I'm doing something, I make sure it's out of eyesight.
Yeah.
Or if I'm walking somewhere, it's in my pocket. I don't want to hold it. I don't want to get used to holding it. And I get a watch. So 20 times a day, I don't do that.
Yeah.
Each one of them times makes no difference. But over a month, this becomes a thing.
It doesn't. I do need to get a watch, but I always.
But it's one of the small things of not needing to touch your phone.
Yeah,
it sounds like nothing, but over a year, how many times do you do that?
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
I've been told off at work. A couple of jobs back, but I would be. It would just be instant. I'd be on the computer.
Muscle memory.
And then I'll just go like that. Yeah. And he would just be like, can you stop looking at your phone? Yeah. And I'm like, I'm sorry. To be honest, I actually didn't realise I was doing it.
Get a watch and wherever you're doing something, keep it out of eyesight. Yeah. Just don't let your eyes see it.
I love this social media like intervention we're having right now.
Well, it's personal, but it's so simple. Yeah. No, but it is. Because it's the first things you have to take care of is all these tiny little things. But the problem is it seems like nothing.
Yeah.
But the point is you've got to change all the little nothings before you get to the next level. But if you've got that thing, then forget it. Forget everything else because you're just knackered. If you're still doing this every 10 times a day.
I'm starting to read a book now. In the evening,
I'll read a book.
And I actually was just like, I haven't read a book in so long. And I was like, I forgot how much I really liked it. Like, I mean, I read trash and it's not good.
It's still nice.
You know,
it's nice actually
reading it and then slowing my brain down before bed.
Yes.
I think it's so useful.
I used to be really good with that. I used to read always every night before I went to bed and that's just gone.
Yeah.
But is there anything of interest here though? Is there anything books that you would like to read?
Oh yeah, I've got quite a few on my nightstand.
I went to a bookshop the other day because whenever I look for guests and things, people are always asking me this, actually, I should say, when you get guests, they say, how do you get the guests? And one of the things, I just go into a bookshop and I just never look in the window. Because they're the ones with the agents and they're like new, they're very busy people with agents. I always go into the bookshop and just look at the older books with people that was written 20 years ago. And you just look, and I thought, I'm enjoying just being here.
Yeah.
Because it's a different type of person, it's a different type of thing, and people are calm. And I'm just looking at books, and your brain goes, oh, I'm not used to this. And then it just goes,
just calm.
A little bit, yeah.
Good recommendation. There's a wonderful one on Gower Street. Around near Euston, and that is the Waterstones for lovely detailed tip for you. That's the Waterstones for lots of different universities around there, UCL and a couple of others, Birkbeck and a few others, and SOAS.
It's like Waterstones as sponsor us.
please do. But what's cool is it has all the course books in there for everything. So it has like a detailed Russian literature section in Russian. You know what I mean?
Christ. It has
all this, like books on sort of, some biological bioengineering and stuff, like PhD level. And so it was really detailed stuff. Fantastic. It's a mix of other stuff as well here and there. But it's really, it's great because it has all the sort of academic tomes in there as well. So wonderful.
Because I've been so used to, because I've got Audible and I'm so used to just doing something, going about my day and listening to something. Yeah. And I do love that. To be honest, I have to go for a walk and listen to something if I really want to take something in. Mm. But then I'll just be going around my house listening to something. And then I'm just I've completely missed everything that I was listening to.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm just multitasking, which we don't...
So you're doing everything badly, a little bit badly.
Everything badly.
That's the thing with films. Yeah. I struggle to sit down and actually watch a film.
Because
I'm always doing something else.
Yeah, playing Candy Crush.
Yeah, I'm pissing around. Unfortunately, I'm pissing around my phone.
I watched a film the other day, and one of these films that you've never heard of, but you think, oh, that was well done. It wasn't well enough known. Wasn't well known enough to be. It was just somebody just done a film the way they wanted a film to be made. Yeah. So it was good.
Go for it. What was it?
It was. It was even filmed. It was almost square. I don't know what that is. I forget the dimensions. 14x9.
4x3.
Yeah. It was just square with curved edges, and that was the whole thing. Okay.
So a fisheye lens kind of thing then.
No, not more. It's more subtle than that. Okay. But I actually came to the film because I was looking about film ratios, why people film in, panoramic or the wide stream, or when they do certain shots, why do they do a certain shot? Yeah. For that one, they blur the back out because it means they're on their own, and or framing. If you want somebody to look like they're on their own, you film them through the window. You put a frame and then the frame within the frame. So it's sort of... that was one of the films that came up. And I thought, I've never heard of that. It's called A Ghost Story. And they just keep it in that frame. It's got a hood, what you think of a ghost with the eyes cut out.
Yeah,
it's not horror.
They wear sheets. They wear these sheets with the eyes.
Well, it's only one person.
I love horror films. So I was Ghost Story.
Yeah. And I read it and I thought, why haven't I heard it? I think it was 2018, something
is
like
it,
that.
Is it UK? Is it?
No, it's American.
American, okay.
It's there's low, only, low budget, wasn't it?
You've got to like films because there's about 20 sentences in the whole film. The rest is just two actors.
Oh, great.
And what it is so it's a young couple. It's not going to spoil anything.
Visual storytelling.
I'm just trying not to... Yeah, it's just that.
Cool.
I mean, one of them was hard to take in. I had to force myself to say, that's a film. You're watching a film. Don't criticise it. Because what happens is there's a bit where... there's no real spoilers. So it's somebody dies. So they're in a house together. And it's not done in that American-y way where everything's lovey. It's just them in the house. It's being very pedestrian. They're in the house and they're just in bed. That was it. So a lot of the times, one of them, when they just show the house and they go in and it's the outside of the house and they close the door and they go in, but it just stays on the outside of the house for about a minute and then just changes scene. And your brain's sort of on edge.
Yeah.
Because you're waiting for... I was thinking... There's going to be a gunshot and a screen. Yeah. Something. Nothing. Just changes to the next screen.
Or is it paused? What's going on?
Anyway, so...
Because that's very subtle, very clever. Because you sort of end up watching the image and you're
And it doesn't do...
I was on edge.
I'm thinking, there's going to be... Is this where somebody kills him and she screams or something? Yeah.
There's a murderer is going to turn up. It's like a gang,
you're so used to watching American
marauders.
Films.
Yeah. Your imagination just goes wild.
Well, because you're thinking, what's the purpose? Because there's a meta element to it. Because you, the viewer, are going, okay... Because we all sort of have some loose, even not a conscious idea of a film structure or what theory. Mm. We do still have a thing. Okay, well, what's going on? Why are you showing me this?
And then
what's
just
the purpose
cuts.
Of this scene?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, well, there isn't. And then you're like, well, that's odd. What are they trying to get at? And then you start questioning again. You sort of start questioning the intent of the author behind that. So
So and it does it the whole way through. And some of them, you go, oh, okay, I get it now. Your brain slots into what they're doing, and then. So they move in and then they're in bed together and it's just them in bed. And it was as real as what two people would just be in bed, like nothing.
Mm.
And they kiss for 2 seconds and they stop. And then one of them sort of moves and it's just them. And it's like, oh, that's two people. That's what they look like when you're... Anyway, and then it cuts the next day and the guy's head's basically through a steering wheel. It's just there and it sits on it. There's two cars and it's probably killed him. And then it goes to...
No spoilers.
No, it's not really... I mean, it's called Ghost. There's only two people in it. So and it just cuts to the end. Oh, that's the other thing. They only use music one song once. There's no sound, there's no music.
Wow.
So it's that human, it feels normal, it feels boring, if you know what I mean.
No, that feels, well, I haven't seen it, but it seems like it's trying to do something a bit different than your average horror movie.
Mm. Yeah. It's not horror.
I saw a trailer. Well, it was also like the anti-horror movie. And yeah. Call it a ghost story. I'm going to do not do a horror movie, basically, about a ghost or whatever, about grief, you know. I saw a trailer the other day called The Nuns, I think, or The Nun. The Nuns.
The Nun.
The horror movie, The Nun.
It's a new thing. I think The
Nun. Yeah, scary. I think it's The Nun. Is it The Nun?
It's currently...
There's Nun 2 out now.
I think it might be that. Because there was more than one nun.
Yeah,
exactly. I think there was one with a nun. So what do you do for the sequel? Go big. More nuns.
That's what we need.
Priests. Yeah. What's more dangerous than a nun? Yeah. You go, two nuns. Yeah. Right. Job done. Writing room. Right. Off early today, boys. Nice one. And I was just, I saw this trailer and like they were all sort of, this woman was down an alleyway and then all of a sudden like all these nuns surrounded her. And like they went, and like I had like teeth.
Oh right, yeah, I think it was The Nun.
And I was just
that would be petrifying though if that was you in an alleyway surrounded by nuns.
I honestly think I'd be more confused if I that I was in an alleyway in the middle of the night in Chicago and there were seven nuns there. Yeah. I'd be like
stagnant.
I'd be like, who's pranking me? Who's pranking me?
You would think that there was something up, I suppose. Yeah. Maybe I would be scared just from seeing seven nuns. I don't know. But I would be more confused, especially, and then if they all had vampire teeth and stuff, I'd just be like, well, I wasn't expecting that.
You get back to your phone.
Evening Sisters.
Just put it on TikTok. Like, guys, can you do that again?
Let me finish the film. So,
it's just absolutely ridiculous. And I laughed all the way through this.
I probably would watch it. I love horror films. Like anything, I will probably watch it.
Okay, good luck. Because
this film, so there's no horror in it. It's no horror at all. It's about grief. The film's about grief. So the guy dies, and then they cut to being at a morgue, and the woman's just there, the nurse, and he's on the floor, and she just pulls the thing back, and she just looks at him. She gets kind of 2 minutes, and she walks out, and she just stares at him, and she just pulls it like for a minute, and she pulls it back on, she leaves, and then it just stays on him, just on his own, the morgue, just like that for another minute, and then he just sits up, and you go, what the fuck? And the head, you can feel the head, like it's like turning under the sheet. And it just gets up and like and it walks. And then it just cuts to it sort of walking down the hallway. Mm. And it's got the eyes cut out and it looks like a silly ghost. It's not trying to be scary.
Oh,
just
okay.
You go, nothing makes sense because it's got the eyes cut out and it just walks. And then it's out in the thing. And then it goes into the house again. And it's just standing there. And for like 30 seconds, it's just there. And then
you look like E.T. got dressed up for Halloween.
It's weird because I was trying to get my head, why have they done that? I thought... It's obviously the cliche, but it's not supposed to be. It's not done the scary way, and then it's just she comes back.
Well, that's what I was saying. It seems quite interesting because it seems to be trying to.
Yeah, the thing that's in pain is the ghost. I mean, that's it's the running thing, and it just stands in the house, and like a mum comes in and writes a note and leaves a pie there, and then the woman comes back, and the idea is that the ghost doesn't know anything about time. It's in limbo land, really.
Mm.
And the girl comes back, and it's just following her, and she looks at the sign, and she's doing nothing, staring, and she gets the pie, and she sort of picks at it, and she picks some more at it, and then she just goes and sits down on the floor, and she starts eating the pie.
Mm.
And the bit where she's eating the pie is like 5 minutes, and she's eating a little bit, and she's crying. Slowly, after a minute, you see tears coming down. But it's a long time because she's just eating this pie and then eating other bits and picking up with a hand and there's bits falling off and she just keeps eating it. And then after about 4 or 5 minutes, she just sat there. She's a bit crying. She's eating this pie. She's stabbing it.
Yeah.
And then she just runs to the toilet and throws up. And the whole thing's like she's not crying anywhere really.
Yeah.
And then it cuts and then it's just there and then it looks up the corner and there's like snow coming down.
Mm.
And it walks and it's snowing.
Mm. And then so time has passed.
Yeah, and that thing's just there. And it just when she goes into another room, it walks and goes into another room. And then he comes out of the room because he hears a knock on the door. And he goes to the door and she comes in. But she's like got another guy. And there's a little thing about, oh, thanks for having me. And they're kissing. And then can I come in?
And she's so like, it's all silent. Like there's this. Yes, it's all silent. It's nothing. No music.
And she's sort of like when he says, "Oh, can I stay?" or something like that. Yeah. And she's like, she's obviously a little bit drunk. And then she says, "Hold on." And she runs to the bedroom, and she's like looking for a photograph of them, and she's like looking at the bed, and she's like wanting to cry, but then it cuts to something else, and then she's sort of like on autopilot. And then it cuts to them like he designed a song for, and she's just listening to this song, and she's lying on the floor listening to this song, and like he stood right by her feet with a sheet, never saying anything. And then it cuts again, and there's like the set, and then he goes into another room, and all the boxes are stacked up, and she's packing the boxes with her mum, and it goes there, and then he stood there, and then he hears a noise, and he goes to another room, and there's two kids, like Spanish kids, have run in. And he hears a woman's voice. He goes into the other room, and all the Spanish kids are sat there with this mum
that have now moved in.
But then it carries on because then he's sitting there. It goes down again, and he goes into another room. He hears music, and there's a party going on with all these like kids, like 35-year-olds, and they're having a party, and they're talking about philosophy. And one of them starts talking about the fact that nothing matters. You write music because you want it to be this big thing. Eventually the world ends and thing and shit.
Atrophy.
And nothing. And then he's just standing there. Mm. And then you just hear this big bang. Mm. And a bulldozer comes through. And now it's destroyed.
Wow.
And she did a thing before she left. She says, like, I always write notes and put them in the wall. So she writes a little bit of paper and she puts it in the wall as she's leaving for the last with her mum and she's driving off. Even the driving off, you think, oh, she's going to be a moment of she just gets in the car and she just drives off. Mm. And but it follows her. She's driving off for like a minute and she's sat the traffic. You go, she's going to break down or, and she just drives and that's it. But and it cuts and he's still at the window, just standing there. Anyway, so this bulldozer comes through and it knocks it all down. Mm. But before then, he keeps going back to this wall and trying to get his finger in the wall and he's just scratching it. But like nothing, and the Spanish people come, and he's still scratching at this wall, trying to sell the note. And then the party, he just goes back, and he's scratching, trying to get it in the wall, but he can't. And then knock it all down, and then he's just stood there. And then there's one, but he looks over, and there's another house far away, and there's another ghost at another window, and there's no words, but it comes up like, "Who are you?" And he's like, "I don't know," and then it says, "What are you doing?" And it says, "I'm waiting for somebody." Mm. And it says, "Who are you waiting for?" And he says, "I can't remember."
Mm.
And it's like about these two ghosts. And then when the houses get, these things get bulldozed. And then the other one says to the main one, "I don't think the person's coming back." Mm. And then the sheet just falls down. And then the guy's just stood there. But then it goes forward and now they start building flats and then an office block and then a massive tower of like office blocks. And then it goes forward to it's like it's obviously in the future because it's all like sci-fi sort of thing.
How long is this film? Okay. Is it quite a long film?
No, it's an hour and a half film.
They've put a lot into an hour and a half.
Yeah. And it's just, he starts walking through these high office, because I was thinking, where's the phones? And there's no TV. And I thought, oh, that must have been a while ago.
Mm.
And then it goes, so that happens. And then there's obviously been some catastrophe because it turns and the guy's in the field. So that it's gone into the future with all these skies. It looks like Tokyo.
It sounds like the bit in the time machine.
Yeah, it's sort of like that.
When he's accelerating into the future.
But it goes, it then cuts.
It's all, everything's sort of changing around him.
It's a good concept as well. Like,
well, it goes back because what the guy was talking about in the future and everything ends and all that, like when there was the people sat in the party having a talk, like drunk. And then it cuts. And he's now in a field, like we're still in the same place, but they're like pilgrims, like people that are pilgrims, and they're banging things in with like hammers, like in the ground. And you can hear, it cuts, then he sees two kids playing and they're dirty. And it's like pilgrim, they've gone back to like the pilgrim times.
Yeah. There's been a societal collapse or whatever.
And then he turns around again to look at the parents and he sees the parents, but with like the arrows in them. And then he turns back to the kids, and the kids are like got an arrow in its neck, and they're dead. And I can't remember. So, but anyway, it carries on like that. But the whole thing being played out is this song, and that one of them starts to whistle the song that he designed, and it's like something in the human DNA remembers. Like you don't know it's been passed down, but the one of the kids is humming this song that from all these generations ago. And then so he goes back to the house that's been destroyed. He finds his little bit of paper anyway. But then he opens it and you don't see what it says, but then he just, the sheet falls down on him and then the song plays in. But it's just about that thing that like he couldn't let it go.
Yeah.
And he was stuck there, even though through all these generations, I think. Yeah. So, but you've got to see, because the main thing is the visuals and the
I don't need to watch it now because I know.
No, you do, because there was no
secret.
I saved
myself an hour and a half.
I literally have.
In terms of filmmaking, it was good to break your brain to just calm you down, because you're watching nothing. Yeah. I've told you what it is. But you go, well, why would I sit through that?
Yeah.
But you're watching the actors. Yeah. You're watching how they're reacting.
I've seen good, like, is it cinematography?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? Of, like, really good, like, grief. I don't know. I'm a massive Buffy fan. I don't know if you've seen Buffy. Yeah.
Long time ago.
So one episode when her mum dies, and it's called The Body, and there's no music. Normally there's music with Buffy and everything. There's no music. It's like, as you said, there's like a shot of him on the... with that film, a shot of him on the table dead, that happens in Buffy in that episode. Like, you can see her mum, and they just kind of, like, every so often they keep shooting back to her on the bed, cutting back to her on the table, and it's brilliant. Like, it's probably the best episode I've ever seen for like grief, and how she, you could see from Buffy's point of view as well. Like, she'd be holding a phone to call the ambulance, and then the phone will just get larger and larger, because you're just seeing it from her perspective. And it's just such a brilliant, brilliant episode.
The use of the cinematography of not using things to highlight a point, you know, not moving, sitting on a scene, not using music is more scary.
Like
Samurai Cop, the movie Samurai Cop does this quite a lot. These scenes just go on far too long. So they'll have it's a silly 80s buddy movie, terrible, bad B movie, bad movie. And then they'll finish a scene. They'll go there, they'll be in there, and they'll argue with you're too reckless, you two detectives, get out there, and, you know, oh my goodness, you know, the mayor's up my ass, blah, blah, blah. And then they'll just stop, and then they'll just all be there in the room just going,
yeah, that's his own film, because you don't know. Are they taking
just staring, and like, you're just filmmaking. Going, but yeah, well, that's just terrible filmmaking, because you're going in your head, you go, because this again, you just go and cut, and you go, what? You go, oh, it's not, you go, and cut, and then you go, and cut. And you're like, what the fuck? What is going on? What do you want from me?
Yeah, there's so many films that I've seen, like, and I'm just like, that's not needed. Like, at the end, you know, you get to the end and you're like, that really could have been sure.
Yeah.
There was no need for that.
That's the thing. Like, most films don't need to be 3 hours long. It's starting to put me off now going to the cinema.
It's like that new Avatar movie. I was like, oh, the whole thing with the whale. I was just like, she could the younger girl can actually literally, like, talk to the ocean. Like, she, it should have been about her instead of the guy who could talk, who had the whale. Have you seen it?
I have, but now I can't. I can't.
And I was just like, the story just didn't go in what I thought it was going to go. Like, she had all this, I thought it was going to be based on her because she could speak to the ocean and stuff like this.
She's a relatively interesting character. They're so bland. I can't even remember the guy's name. Jake Sully.
Oh God, it was just so painful to watch.
They did the same thing two bits. They did twice. They had, okay, so they went and kidnapped the kids, and then they go, oh my God.
What are you talking about?
Avatar 2. Oh, okay, right.
They're like, we've got to go rescue the kids. And so you go, okay, cool. This is the denouement. This is a movie. This is our third act, but so they need to go and break in, attack the baddie, fleet, spaceship thing, whatever the hell it was, boat, and recapture the kids and defeat the baddie. Okay. And then they do that. Well, they go in and they save the kids, and then they get them somewhere safe. And then the baddies come, and then they capture the kids. And then they take them back to the enemy stronghold again. And I'm like,
you don't need to do this.
And I was like, this is just added on 40 minutes.
I know, 40 minutes of my life.
Yeah.
You think in editing with timing, but sometimes you go, well, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So what am I not seeing? Like, but it is what it is.
Oh, have you seen the new Spider-Man in the Across the Spider-Verse? Or
no, I have not.
It's so good. Visually, it's a little bit overwhelming because, like, I had to have a couple of breaks and go outside because it's just because they're drawing so many different Spider-Man in different
and the frame rate can be a bit choppy, but that's a stylistic choice.
Yeah, it can be. Just so many colors, so it's like sensory overload sometimes. But it's brilliant. I think, and it's part one. I definitely watch it.
I really, really
like any Spider-Man stuff. Don't
know why. but it's an animated one. But
it's forget it then.
Oh no.
The core of Spider-Man.
Yeah, I suppose if you're invested in it, you
well, it's, I think it's a fun, good movie. Yeah. It's got a very good setup and payoff.
Well. And it's very like nostalgic as well, because they like throw in like older like comic like books and
has Spider-Ham in it.
Yeah.
Spider-Ham.
Yeah. Who was a spider bit by a radioactive pig, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Yeah.
And he's a cartoon character.
Oh,
he's
my
literally
God, it's
a cartoon
so
character.
So good.
With anvils and
anvils?
Yeah, he can just conjure anvils.
Are you talking about Spider-Man?
Yeah, he's like a Looney, but he comes from like a Looney Tunes universe.
But there's loads of different worlds. There's one with like a Lego Spider-Man. There's the one with a T-Rex who's a Spider-Man.
Okay. Is this the Marvel
it's
film?
Brilliant.
It is a Sony film.
Yeah.
But it's like a Disney.
And Childish Gambino's in it just for a tiny, tiny section. I was just like, I can't remember that.
If I said to you, like, what films have like stayed with you? Not like, oh, I really loved that film. What was something that, is there a good, like The Joker always comes to mind.
No, there's one called The Mist by
The Mist?
Yeah, oh, The okay, Mist. Right, yeah. Stephen King novel.
Yeah, I haven't seen
literally.
That one.
The whole film, me and my sister were watching that.
Was there a newer version?
Yeah, so they're in a supermarket. Yeah, yeah, like, okay. You know, there's mist, there's creatures in them. Yeah. Yeah. And the whole time me and my sister were watching it, and we're like, oh, this is really stupid, you know, like, there's creatures in it. And it's basically like human nature, how everyone's, there's this preacher woman that's like, you know. Yeah.
Good, we're all going to die.
Yeah. And, but it's the end.
Yeah, the ending's
the
a bit.
The ending that got me.
You don't look, the film up to that point doesn't look like it's that type of film.
But I don't want to say it, no spoilers, but it's the ending that stayed with me. That's the problem. Probably the one film.
Every now and again you get a film like
it
that.
It is a good ending and it's a very memorable ending. However, the one and only time I watched it with my mate, we were both completely wasted. And we got to the end and then we just started laughing loads at the ending. Oh, so we were just like pissing ourselves laughing.
What film do you think, if I said a good film? That
so it kind of ruined, it's a shame because it is, I can see objectively like that.
If it was sober, then it was, you know.
I can see objectively looking back at it. But at the time I was like, that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And I was like, we were just absolutely tears.
Depends of what kind of mindset you're
so,
in.
What film do you remember seeing that was like, oh, that's a good film. That was a good not so enjoyable, but like you go, oh, that will always be a good film. Joker, that was standard. Recently,
did I see anything new? Have I seen anything new that's good?
Last few years, even.
That's good. I enjoyed the new Top Gun movie. I'm not saying it was great, but I'm saying a spectacle and a bit of fun. Tom Cruise is a bit of a weirdo. But
he just never ages, though.
He has now.
Recently.
Oh.
Yeah, well, something happened in the last 2 years. Where I'm thinking, he looks like his granddad. What did I miss? Because even in Top Gun, he looks all right.
A good genius.
But now you see him.
Maybe he's stopped
the Botox. You go, no, it's not that. It's just age. It doesn't look like he's had Botox.
No.
But he's just gone from something and there's been a leap. And you go, is that him?
He's actually starting to look his age. He looked about late 40s. You know, he's looking good. He's looking like mid to late 40s. And then now he's
looking
60.
Younger.
You know,
really?
He's just suddenly, last
older.
Age. Yeah.
Like the face just gone completely changed.
Some people, catches up with you.
Yeah.
Right.
He was, because, you know, as they always say, a young old is a good move for an actor.
Mm.
Get your aging out.
Oh
get
my
your
God,
aging
like
over with.
Kate Beckinsale. Have you seen? She's just turned 50.
Oh, okay.
And she looks 25. She looks unbelievable.
Tilda Swinton. There we go. Tilda Swinton's about 60 odd. She's looked about 40 or 50 since she was 20 odd. You know what I mean? And great actress. She's like, right, okay, got my aging out. Now it's going to be a character actor. Paul Giamatti. Paul Giamatti is a weird looking goblin man. And he has been a weird looking goblin man since his late 20s. Got it out of the way. And now he just goes, right, I'm going to be a character actor, playing goblin people, basically.
Yeah. But it's just like, there's this meme, sorry, social media. But there's this meme that says, no, you're not ugly, you're just poor.
Yeah, that is true, yeah. It's certainly
so
helps.
True.
Certainly
yeah, but if I had a lot of money.
If you've always been ugly, it's all right. You haven't got anything to fear.
But you could change it. Like if you're... you know.
No, because the change doesn't ever work out. I mean, you look at Simon Cowell, you go, he's got all the money in the world, and you look at his face and you go, you've got too much money.
But
you've messed yourself up.
Yeah, what would Trump can't go too far.
What would Trump look like if he was poor?
Oh, God.
If he actually had to work, if he worked like a job.
Yeah, you know, he wouldn't be orange for a start.
50 years and yeah. like, you know, was a whatever. I don't know.
Oh, I don't
assistant
know.
Accounting manager for something. You know what I mean? No, just actually had to do a job and like,
probably that like rotund belly.
He'd probably be dead. I'm sure.
I think he'd be dead.
Probably be dead.
Well, his suits are getting, they're getting more sort of like cloak-like, where he just can't hide the shape anymore. It's just like a square blanket. That
swishing
hangs.
In.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't he in a lot of trouble at the moment?
Oh, can't get involved in that. Yeah.
Yes, four different.
But his whole, he's done nothing. But I always imagine his lawyers going, for the love of Christ, will you stop talking? Because it's just, you're the only one that ever does anything. You're the one that puts them in jail. It's like when they said about OJ Simpson, it was actually the Los Angeles Police Department that got him off the charge because they were so horrendously bad and corrupt.
They balls
that. So they end up just, they both said, look, they're obviously racist, let him free. And Trump is basically the only one that's putting him in jail. If he had just kept his mouth shut and not said anything, he would have been all right.
But the man can't but he kept do saying, it.
Look what I've stolen. Look what I've said to this
look
person.
Look what I did today.
Look, him. Goes, shut up.
I've done look so many rapes and no one knows. Yeah. Don't tell anyone. I go to prison for like 100 years.
Yeah.
It's a super secret. Here's all the evidence. I'm so guilty. But everyone, even I know I'm guilty.
Everyone that speaks to him must just press record before they
just
start.
Be like, just... He's going to put his foot in his mouth now.
I think you have to. You reasonably have to. Because you have to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Because you have to have leverage.
Yeah.
You don't get paid. You're never going to pay you. So all you have to do is just either run your own scam and then have protection. Oh, you have something to sell.
Just blackmail him.
When the something to give when the FBI does come knocking for you about something, one of the scams that you've been running for the president.
But the fact that I think you really realize how delusional he is. If everyone your whole life has just run around after you and you've had no consequences, then there must be a tipping point. Because when you go like now, when he left the court and they said, right, you're not allowed to talk about this and that, and he goes out and does a speech and threatens people.
Yeah.
And then, they said, right, we're going to do you for that. They had to pull him back in to then say something about what he'd done. And then he leaves there and he goes on, says to a witness, right, this guy shouldn't be testifying, and go, you've just... What? But if there's no consequences and you haven't known any consequences,
isn't
then you go, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Nothing's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
So why would I, you saying something, it's just noise.
I don't know why this reminded me of, I don't know, it's complete Ted Bundy, where he, narcissism. I know. Okay.
Go on.
Yeah. But he, didn't he, what do you call it when you, you represent yourself in court.
Yeah,
like,
a couple of them do that,
because he just thought that he was so above it all
that
like all the crimes he's committed, he just thought he's so charming, so amazing that I can represent myself in court and I'll get away with it.
I can talk my way out of this.
Yeah, because I can talk my way out because I'm just so charming. I'm so
There's a psychological thing where a couple of people do that, and they said it's actually it's the last bit of abuse they can get out because they want to humiliate the person more.
Yeah.
You know, if I can once more.
It's the power.
Get some. Yeah. I could tell, make you tell me things and humiliate yourself. It's another little twist.
That's why sometimes people do kill themselves before sentencing.
Yeah.
They might be all guilty or a verdict's released. And it's a power thing. Cause, you know,
talk about killing yourself before verdict. I remember seeing we've got to end soon. But there was an article I was reading and it was about the death when you electric chair or whatever, the injections. And they were saying, like, there has been people that have been petrified and have had heart attacks walking
before.
Up and what do you do? And they said, do you take them away and give them medical treatment just to basically take them back? And they said, yeah. They said, until they get the that person is as not free, but they're allowed the rights of every other human being until they get the last thing to say, okay, you can press the button.
And it's
until
the execution then. By that means as well.
Well, they said,
if it's not carried out, I mean, if he gets, you know.
Yeah, until that point.
But it's manslaughter. So if someone, not manslaughter, but they could get, if they're not going to save this person, they're just going to let him die, they will get in trouble as well. Yeah. If anyone's around,
when they get the injections, they still have to use an alcoholic swab to make sure that, because that, until they're told yes, now inject them, that would be a much, if you said somebody has a heart attack.
It's a very well-defined legal action.
Yeah,
100%.
There was a young kid who got electrocuted and they didn't kill him properly because the machinery just wasn't kept to a certain standard. And then he had tried to sue them to say, you're not allowed to do it to me twice, whether just because you failed to do the, I went through this thing, you can't now do again. It's under the, what do they call it when you can't get done twice for the same crime?
Double jeopardy.
He tried to do that and there was a big court case and it went on and eventually said no.
And then he survived.
No, they had to do
they
it.
They had to do it again. Oh.
But he was, they spoke to him a lot because he's the first person they were saying like, what happened? Did you feel, because they don't know because you killed them. Most of the time it's successful. Did you feel the pain kick in? What happened, the thing? And he was saying weird things like the taste in his mouth. And
yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, you'd be like, I saw God, you know, like, I probably do that.
But yeah, I thought, yeah, you've got to have a heart attack.
Hype it up a bit more.
And the doctors must be thinking, I've got a queue of people here and I've got to bring this person back to life.
Reminds me of Law Abiding Citizen. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
You know, when he, I always forget which one it is.
Who's
the main guy?
Gerard Butler.
That's it. I always get confused with Russell Crowe. I don't know why. But yeah, then he switches up all the injections and this guy just like, I think it's like acid or something and he literally burns alive. It's horrible. That's a good film.
Yeah.
That's one of the, I've watched that 10 times.
They have to use highly conductive fluid and it's brine, you know, like brine that you have in like, I don't know, sort of pork sausages or whatever, that sort of brine. That conducts very easily because otherwise if you use water it would just evaporate and then burn and the brine doesn't. In fact, when they used to have steam engines, steam trains, and they had to clean out the old coal from inside the thing, and like, you know, but they used to send kids in there, you know, like send them up the chimneys, and they used to let the train would stop for like one day but it'd still be hot, so they have to get small kids. They'd just put a plank in there and they'd soak the plank and the kid with all the bandages around him and they'd soak them in brine because it takes a long time to evaporate, whereas water would just steam off immediately. But then they just pushed the kids in, soaked with brine, and the plank was soaked, and then they'd have to just clean the insides.
The old days. When was that, last week?
They were called Firebox Boys. So the Firebox Boys.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so something about brine and... It's very conductive and it doesn't steam off very quickly. Yes, end up something positive. Anything good happening, Charles? Anything happening?
No, nothing good anyway. No, it's all downhill, baby.
Unions, all the housing. You haven't been on the pickets. You sorted it all out. Down the UK?
No. Unfortunately, not. The NHS is still in crisis.
But the nurses took the pay deal.
They did. Well, our union actually rejected the pay deal, the 5%, 5 point, I think it's 8% pay deal. However, the other unions did, go through. So they have got that pay deal. We didn't agree to it, but then we didn't agree to go out and ballot either.
Oh, okay.
Again, so we're in a bit of a, it was sort of not the best strategic position, let's say, currently. But we are re-evaluating our, you know, our plan of action, and we're looking to... look at the pay spine.
Okay.
It makes sense to anyone? Probably not. But banding and pay spines and stuff, and making sure that people are doing correct, are being paid correctly for the role that they actually do on the ground, you know.
Just still in the bloody Victorian era, just scrabbling with teachers and nurses, scrabbling around for money. That's become the norm rather than like make them rich.
Yeah, make them rich. They do so much.
The notion of paying people the least that look after your children's education. Just if you put that in, like, they'll laugh about that in the future. They said before, would you find the cheapest babysitter you could possibly get to look after your kid, or would you want the right person who's happy and not pissed off and stressed? You would go, let's get the cheapest babysitter we can find, because let's get the people that are teaching your child, probably around your children more than you are, in the most important life, when the scaffolding of the brain is being built, let's pay them as least as possible.
Well, I discussed this with numerous people, and the response was, well, if they are really caring, why are they being paid? They really want to look after people. They wouldn't take any money. Yeah. They do it for free.
Have that as a theory across the world.
And then
the world
did you just punch them in the face?
It's very difficult to...
We're stupidity at that point. Yeah.
It's very difficult to stay put, because you're just like... It's when someone says something so dumb.
Yeah.
It's like shut up.
Reaching under the table and then coming up with a handful of poo and then just...
Yeah.
Pull up and go, what do you think of that? And you just go... I don't even know where to start with that.
Yeah, there was a guy. It was a few months ago now, and he brought up about the moon landing not being real. And it's just, there's no offense. I'm not pissed off at you. I'm just not. It's like I'm just letting you say your bit, because it's so certain things. You go.
Did he also think the world is flat?
There's nothing to, there's no thought process going in my head to respond to anything, because it's like, it's too far down the line now. It's like if you saw, it's somebody was racist, you go, you have to admire the fact that you're so on your own in the world.
Yeah.
Like that, I've got nothing to, there's nothing to respond to. If you're there, you could argue immigration, but if you're still there, just move on.
Right, so we solved that problem.
Do you want to say something?
Let's talk about the Lionesses. They're playing right now.
Oh, yes, we don't know the score.
What's this?
Can someone see the score?
What's it?
The Lionesses.
What's that? Female football.
Yeah, female football. Well, what's happening? It's literally the World Cup. It's the final today.
World Cup final as we speak.
Sydney?
Australia of some, I think.
Yeah, because they beat Australia in Sydney.
So English football, the women are in the finals.
Yes. Yeah.
Who they're fighting against?
Spain.
Hopefully they'll be
literally today.
Literally now.
Oh no. What? Oh no.
You can speak. What is it? To who?
Spain. Oh no.
But is there enough advertising money in that? I know that they're putting a lot of money into it. I see the signs, but there can't be a lot of people.
The issue is the timing with it. I've struggled to watch. I'd love to watch more matches. When the World Cup usually comes, men's World Cup comes along, I try and watch every match. Right. Okay. Yeah. Even if I had to sort of.
Is it on TV? Yeah, like English TV?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How is the previous men's football world taken to the women's thing? Have they sort of just gone, oh, it's amazing, or were they just sort of ignoring it?
I think there was something that I was looking at the other day, that they're not awarding bonuses for when they hold up the cup for the women's football or something. I saw it really, really small as a headline.
Have they got like Nike and all that? Are they involved with it?
I mean, surprise, surprise, there's not as much money as in the men's game.
Yeah.
There's a disparity of, you know, wages, and people have been.
Well, that's just advertising. That's how many eyeballs are on it.
I mean, Reading play in a league, two leagues lower than Manchester United. Mm. Guess what? They make considerably less money than Manchester United.
Do they have any
because
female...
they have, because the advertising, the views aren't there. You know, it's not on telly as much.
Do they have any female pundits? Have they got to that point?
Yes, they are.
Well, it hasn't been around that long to put female, like experienced female footballers on that, or has it?
It has for a while. I think the league in this country recently became full-time professional.
So is there a proper league, like Arsenal, Tottenham,
most of them have ladies teams.
And where do they play? Like on a Saturday? Because it can't be that many stadiums.
They play on the Sunday. I know Reading women. Play on.
They don't come on afterwards, just as everybody.
I think they play in a different stadium.
There must be a lot of old
as well, because they play in smaller stadium. I know Reading's women's play in smaller stadium.
Oh, okay, right.
I think they're going to get more recognition after this as well, because they've gone all the way to the final, and they've done such an amazing job. And I'm going for them. They lost, but I mean, they did it. They went to the final. You can't take that away from them. They did such.
They won the Euros. They won the Euros.
Oh, so they're doing them all normal things. Yeah, FA Cup. Have they got an FA Cup?
Oh yeah, it's a women's.
Oh, so it is proper.
Yeah.
I just want all the old fellas that just were bloody women. Yeah, that must be so jarring for them.
I've had conversations. I have friends as well who say, oh my God, I can't believe there's a woman commentator. Turn that rubbish down. Oh no, there's no woman.
But you just don't watch it. Why do you hate
it? But they're like commenting on the men's game. I'm like, who cares? Like, so what?
Another lot of people that are happy. Just leave people alone.
Just leave them alone. Just leave them to be grumpy.
Obviously, you want to make sure, I'm assuming they're still playing with like skirts below the knee, are they? Just for a stick.
Yeah.
Do they wear the bonnets or do they take them off?
Yeah.
There'll be some people that are still thinking that. Well, look, I don't know.
Victorian Wimbledon, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you see photographs, that is funny.
They were doing that in the 50s, I think, still. They had to have, like, you know, modest.
I read something about the Wimbledon. They are women, you know, tennis players. They're taking away the wearing white, because they can say that they can wear other colours but white.
Okay.
But they changed that a while ago, didn't they?
Yeah,
in Wimbledon, you didn't have to wear, because you'd start seeing people wearing pink and blue and go, oh, it's just, you can't just have anything that's just, leave it alone, look better. But it's sponsorship, that's all
well,
that's
no,
done.
It's also because, like, you know, not going to, but the time of the month as well. It's got female tennis players and you're wearing white. I mean, you do not want that in the back of your mind when you're playing tennis.
Yeah, I'm not sure that'd be the main reason, though. And it's usually money is the thing.
Well, I don't know. I think it was
part of it.
I think it is part of it because when you're running around, you know, you don't want that. You don't want, you know, Daily Mail being like, ooh, you know.
Especially when you're on the floor with a camera up. Yeah.
They're savage.
Was that in the Ricky Gervais's Extras? I've been talking about recently when he's doing that speech when he's in the Big Brother house and he has like a minor breakdown. Have you seen Extras? It's a while ago.
He's
basically a failed celebrity and he ends up in the house. Yeah. And he goes in and he's just looking at them all thinking, oh my God, these people. And there's that bit where he has a speech when he's going, they're going, what's wrong? And he goes, I'm just not into this. What is this? We're selling everything to everyone. And he starts talking about journalism and he goes, oh, look, they're so-and-so, like showing her knickers. He goes, of course she's showing her knickers. He said, you're on the floor beneath her legs with the camera, pointing the camera up. You know? So that's literally the gutter press.
Yeah.
That's what, but anyway, so there, we've sorted that out.
We can finish films on knickers.
Yes. That'll probably go down well, actually. We'll just cut that. So we're back. Sort of thing. We've had a couple of practice runs, so we're going to start the interviews again. What's that noise? Can you not hear that? Oh, it might be me. Okay, I'll speak about it afterwards. But yeah, so that's the show. So we'll be back soon with some interviews. That was right, wasn't it? Okay. Right, cheers. Ta-da.
Thank you.
Go Lion. Bye. S's. Here's your story. Let's begin. The world is fine. Come on, dive in. The future's here. It's right before you. Could be larger than life.